Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Want to change it up now. Big year for New Zealand, one of New Zealand's marquee sports, or for all New Zealand sport, of course, the Olympic Games. Over the weekend and over the last 5 days have been the 2024 New Zealand Rowing Championships. They drew to a conclusion yesterday. To talk about the event, to talk about the results, where rowing currently sits, we welcome to the program from Rowing New Zealand, Mark Weatherall. Afternoon to you, Mark. Welcome.
Thanks, Ryan. How are you today?
Yeah, very good, thank you. Look, a great, great week of weather. And I have to say, the images that were sent out around the world, around New Zealand, that appeared on various news sites were just simply stunning. What a wonderful venue Lake Karapiro is.
Oh, and it's stunning, Mark. I mean, it's another beautiful day today, so it's continued. But yeah, we were really fortunate with the with the weather, you know. And a big thing, of course, for us rowers was there was no wind either, so scorching hot. And as you say, just a magic world class facility and location. So yeah, our nearly well, just over 1,000 rowers were really fortunate to have a great week of racing, as you say, that finished last night. And it was some great racing, and everybody really enjoyed themselves.
Well, most people are aware of how big rowing is at a secondary school level. Of course, with the Māori Cup and the Aeon Māori Regatta, and of course the Levin Jubilee Cup on the women's side. How important are the New Zealand Rowing Championships in regards to pathways in terms of athlete development?
Yeah, no, really, really, really important, Mark. We this year was one of the biggest national championships we've had for 20 years. So that was a real testament, I guess, to the work that's going on out in the community. And yeah, I'm fortunate to lead a team at Rowing New Zealand that, you know, that are doing some really, really good work in that space. You know, right from the grassroots of rowing, right through to our, as you say, our athlete development pathway, which is in our team, we look after right through to under 23. And our role really is to prepare those, to identify and prepare those athletes to be in a good space to come into the elite program, which is, of course, is basically at Karapiro. So the national championships is really important. And the really neat thing over the last few days is that we've had our elite athletes, nearly 40 of them, that have been racing for their clubs. So they're getting back out in their clubs, racing in, you know, in boats with other clubbies, and those clubbies just love that opportunity to row with, you know, a number of Olympic champions and Olympic rowers. So it's a really, yeah, really unique sort of situation where that takes place. And for us, that's really crucial, because that, you know, creates the role modelling, creates that pathway. And yeah, it's been really, really positive.
Yeah, and I will come back to that great initiative, bringing those composite crews together. But I guess one of the things that comes off the back of the Māori Cup is the high dropout rate of rowers historically once having left school. You mentioned this year, really high number of rowers. There appears to be a lot of crews in the novice crews and the senior crews, which falls below the premier racing. You've also got those intermediate eights and that intermediate tier. So is there a shift? Are we seeing more people staying in the sport or possibly coming into rowing later on, like 18, 19, 20?
Yeah, there's quite a mixture of things there. We definitely are seeing, you know, a lot of work go into retaining those athletes post school rowing. Of course, the Māori Regatta, as you know, caters for nearly 2,500 young rowers, and the big challenge for us is retaining them into the club system. We've got 64 clubs throughout the country, and again, part of the work that we're doing at Rowing New Zealand is trying to strengthen those clubs to ensure that they've got good programs in place to then capture those school rowers, because I guess it really is, the school rowing in New Zealand is very strong. You know, again, it's world class, and there's a range, you know, of programs. But what happens is those school rowers, you know, get very well looked after in a school program, and then you know, we know that volunteers are the backbone of any sport club, and you know, can't necessarily provide the same level of programming or support that a school program does. So that's part of the reason for the drop off. But we're working really hard in that space to strengthen our club base and you know, have that there. But we also, as you say, we are seeing a number of rowers that are starting later. I mean, rowing's a really interesting sport in that the average age of an Olympic medalist across the world is around 33 years old. So it's, you know, it's a long way from a 14-year-old novice starting rowing to, you know, if they're wanting to achieve that ultimate, then that's a long road if we compare to other sports. You know, swimming's an example where, you know, Olympians are a lot younger than that. So, yeah, you can come and go from rowing, and I guess that's the big thing for us with our athlete development pathway is that, you know, we say, hey, look, yeah, come through school rowing, yeah, off to university, off to work, but you can come and go from that program. And we're seeing a reasonable number of people going across to the US and going to study as part of scholarships, and that we're starting to integrate them back into the program, and you know that's working really well. So it's there's lots of opportunities to jump on the pathway and then jump off, make sure that you're getting an education or getting to the workforce. And there's nothing wrong with starting rowing a little bit later, so for sure.
Yeah, one of the pleasing things that I noticed, and I was delighted to see it, was rowing crews from Whangarei, rowing crews out of Nelson, starting to see the real emergence now out of Waka Tipu and Dunstan and those traditional areas that are just so conducive for rowing, but then also the strength of the traditional clubs like the Avons, like the Christchurch clubs. And clearly, I mean, you've only got to look at depth in the Waikato region. How important, with just a population of 5 million, that we do have programs in place in all of those regions of the country?
Yeah, no, crucial. And one of the other ones that I really like is it's Tuazul. So we had a young group from Tuazul, and they won a gold medal, you know, the novice meet. And as you say, right through from those Whangareis or the Dunstans, right through to the Waikato and the Avons, which are the big forces. But I guess we are fortunate that rowing is one of those sports that is well spread throughout the country. We're again working hard in that space to support those clubs, and getting that representation from across the country is really, really important. We had 46 of our 64 clubs that were represented at the national championship, so that's a pretty good ratio. And of course, we have Masters Rowing and a number of those other clubs that weren't there are Masters, and they'll go to the New Zealand Masters Champs later on this year. So, there's a high participation rate. I mean, it's not by numbers, it's not the biggest sport, but definitely when it comes to representation on Olympic medal tables and stuff, it's right up there, of course, as we know.
One of the things that's also really pleasing to see is the depth amongst our women. Our young girls coming through, particularly noticeable in the Avon Club, the Waikato region. And I guess that's because of the legacy being left by perhaps the Stephanie Fosters. You go back to the Philippa Bakers, clearly the Eva Swindells, and in more recent times, Emma Twigg.
Definitely, mate. I mean, that's been that's a real strength of rowing, and there's so many young ladies that want to get involved in rowing, and my other sport, and dear to your heart, too, surf lifesaving, seen that as well. The men or the males, it's sort of those traditional age groups, sort of 14, 15, was pretty even, and then you sort of drop away with the females after that. But they're definitely all lining up to be involved. And I think, as you say, like the current role models of Emma Twigg and Lucy Spores and the likes of those amazing young athletes, it's such a really neat role model for them to look up to. And, those numbers are really, really increasing really positively.
I'm always a big believer when it comes to high-performance sport that I'm still a big believer in investing in bricks and mortar, but more importantly, investing in coaching. Do we have depth in coaching? Are we developing coaches at the same rate we're growing the talent base?
Yeah, I think we are. Again, part of the team that I lead at Rowing New Zealand is, we're putting a lot of emphasis on that coach development. The school program, there's a lot of opportunity for coaches in that space and paid opportunity as well. So there's development there. But, we've got some really neat development programs within Rowing New Zealand where, we are working with coaches. We bring them into our facility at Lake Karapiro, and they spend time with our elite coaches. It's quite a unique model, and I haven't seen it in my sporting sort of experience where the community coaches/school coaches have that opportunity to come in for 3 or 4 days, in a structured sort of framework where they get to rub shoulders, not only with the coaches, but also with the elite athletes, and go out on the coach boats and you know, and have that real close connection. You know, if we think about the All Blacks, that sort of scenario, that I guess that would be quite difficult. But for us, we worked really hard in that space. So it's broke down a whole lot of barriers. And, you know, one of my key roles, I guess, in the role that I have is really working hard to reconnect Rowing New Zealand to its community. Because I guess traditionally, Rowing New Zealand's been about performance, and rightly so. But you know, I guess at times at the expense of the community, and that sort of shift to go, hey, look, to be successful on a 4-year cycle, we need to have a really good pathway in place, and that starts at the community grassroots. So we're working really hard in that space. So yeah, so long answer, but yeah, I'm really happy with some of the initiatives we've got in that space, and the coaches that are coming through.
You're listening to SENZ. We are talking Rowan. My guest on the program is Mark Weatherall. He is the General Manager, Community and Development for Rowing New Zealand. The Rowing New Zealand Championships just finished yesterday in Lake Karapiro. A big year, as I mentioned in my introduction, with the Olympics this year. I do sense, though, Mark, that possibly New Zealand Rowing is in a little bit of a rebuilding phase. I don't think the public should maybe go into these Olympic Games with perhaps the same high expectations in regard to the number of gold medals won that perhaps we saw in Tokyo, that perhaps we saw in London.
Yeah, no, I think that's a fair comment. You know, we saw a large number of athletes retire after after Tokyo, and you know, it was a really difficult time for everybody, as if we turn our minds back to COVID and Olympics being delayed a year and that. So yeah, we've been working really hard in that space around bringing in new young athletes. We've qualified 9 boats so far for this year's Paris Olympics, so that's really exciting, and we're going into a trial tomorrow, starting back at the Lake, no rest for these rowers, to see if we can take that a little bit further, and we've got the men's and women's quads and then the women's doubles that will trial this week, and if they meet the progs, then they will be sent to the what's called the last chance regatta, which at that regatta they would need to finish either first or second, and if they do that, then they would then get their ticket to the Olympics. So I guess coming back to the medal tally, yes, it's, you know, we're confident, we're looking at 2 to 3 medals would be a really good outcome based on the number of retirements and athletes that have moved away for various reasons. And so that's sort of our target. That's our target with high performance sport. You know, we won't hide behind that. But you never know. There could be one or two, maybe more. But I won't put the pressure on or anything on the athletes. But we were looking, and we believe that we've got the talent there. So it's exciting.
Yeah, I think it was actually Tokyo and the build up to Tokyo 2021. I think it was the 8 that was given the last chance saloon, weren't they? And then we know the rest is history. Yeah. And they end up.
Yeah, well, that's an amazing story. You know, that one, as you say, they did go the last chance, you know, regatta and got through, and then went to the Olympics and had to repercharge and da da da. And then, of course, we all know that, you know, where they finished, which was, unbelievable. So there's definitely a pathway there, and I know these athletes that have just finished the Nationals looking forward to tomorrow and getting, you know, putting that out in the water again to get that opportunity.
And now, Mark, I know you were very, very busy over the weekend, and I'm not sure whether you necessarily have the results sitting there in front of you, but what were some of the standout performances? How did the likes of Emma Twigg perform? What are our stocks looking like in the men's single sculls?
Yeah, no, I guess, you know, you mentioned Emma, and she's a superstar. I mean, she went on to win the women's single for the 11th time. And, talking to her yesterday, she was over the moon with that. And but I guess for her, and, you know, we might get to it shortly, but we had, you know, quite unique sort of situation with our draft dates, and she loved being part of that. But when it comes to the single scales, you know, Tom McIntosh, he did a great job there. And there's some good depth in that. There's some good young guys coming through. You mentioned the likes of Avon and Waikato. They're producing some really young, great young athletes that are coming through. But, yeah, I mean, for both Tom and Emma, both representing Hawke's Bay Club. So to do the double was, you know, created history, which is really neat. I know they're incredibly proud of that. You mentioned Avon before, but, you know, in the men's and women's fours, they were first, second, third in both the men's and women's, which was, you know, that's pretty amazing. That 12 athletes, 12 male, 12 female, that were on the dais. So it just shows the strength of those clubs, and you know, we know that they've got over 100 years of legacy, and it's pretty amazing to see, and they've got a stronghold on those, you know, those types of things.
Yeah, let's talk about, like, if you win a premier national title, you get what you call your red coat, and it's given to you the first time, and then after that, you don't get another jacket presented, but you've two red coats, three red coats, and it's basically premier titles. And we saw a number of red coats handed out for the first time yesterday, and they did come in these composite eights. Tell us a little bit about the initiative there. Tell us why. I'd imagine not every club can put an eight together, how they were set up, and what the and I guess what the ideology around it was.
Yeah, no, definitely. So it's probably 3 or 4 years ago, you know, that premier eights, men and women, had found themselves where there was only two entries. So Avon and Waikato being the stronghold went into the men's eight, and then we got down to only one entry for the women's eight. And so the organisation got together and brainstormed around how could they look to sort of bring the prestige back to those particular events. It also involves the men's and women's quads as well, but the eights, I guess, is the premier event. And the idea was developed that clubs could continue to enter that event, but those athletes that were part of the New Zealand squad, say our summer squad, were to be part of what was called the draft. So they weren't eligible for their home club for that particular event. They were, of course, for other events, but not for that event. And basically through the singles and the doubles during the week, that identified captains that would then respectively select the eights and the quads. And so we, during the week, on a Tuesday, once the captains have been found, both club athletes who aren't involved in a club eight have the opportunity to put their hand to be in the draft as well. So what you have is a group of people that have all our summer squads, so around 40 of them, plus a number of club rowers, so they have to be senior grade. And then our captains then go through and do like a, you know, American football type drafting process where they select their teams, and those teams then have only about 2 days to train together before they race. And what we saw yesterday was that in the women's event, we had five crews on the water, so there were two club crews, and then we had three of our draft crews, and then the men were similar, and they went hammer and tong, you know, and that, those two, both the men and women, you know, come down to sort of 0.06 seconds between first and second, and those events, the draft crews beat the club crews, and as you said, mate, that they, as part of that, those, they were composite crews from, you know, from sort of, in most cases, sort of six or seven different clubs were represented in the crew, and those crews had some of our elite roles in it. So, you know, the crew that won the men's had Tom McIntosh, for example, and then a whole lot of young rowers that had not only the opportunity to row with the likes of Tom or Matt McDonald, he was in the same crew, but also then to go on and win their red card, as you said. And yeah, it was pretty exciting.
Yeah, I think young Oscar Clatworthy, first year out of school, might have picked up a red coat for being part of that eight as well, which is, you know, what a wonderful way to keep him in the sport, particularly if you're a young athlete and you're still having a few bad days and you're not quite sure, and then you just get that little bit of a lift. Mark, so you mentioned that this week, sort of Olympic trials, I'd imagine that a large group of athletes have pretty much etched their name into the selectors' books, but there'll be those on the peripheral, there'll be still some decisions that do need to be made. So how do the trials look? What is it, individual testing, collective testing? Are we seeing racing? How does that look?
Yeah, so we've already done our trial for the nine qualified boats. So there were nine boats that were qualified at last year's World Championships. So the trial for that was held before the national champs. So that was done a couple of weeks ago. The trials that start tomorrow are purely for the two quads, the men's quad and the women's quad, and then the women's double. And yeah, so there'll be a combination of basically seat boat racing arc where they'll, you know, the selectors will mix the boats around. There's a pool of people. And they'll basically go head-to-head in different combinations, and they'll look at the best combination based on where they sit in the boat. So it's not a first-past-the-post type selection. It's purely around seat boat, and they'll just trial through the week. And that'll kick off tomorrow right through till Thursday or Friday morning when they'll make some decisions. And I guess for this group, it's not only about getting in a boat, but it's also ensuring that the boat's quick enough and meet the pronostics to be then sent away to attend that last chance to gather. So there's a few sort of steps in it. But yeah, it's a unique sort of process they go through of seat boat racing and being moved to different seats in the boat and trialled against each other. So it's pretty full on. It's pretty brutal. But it's a proven recipe, which, again, look at the success it's got there.
Yeah, well, the Olympics and the elite level of sport is pretty brutal. It's not easy, is it? And you sort them out pretty quickly. Mark, we've got the 77th edition of the Māori Cup or the Māori Regatta coming up this year down at Ruatanifa. I'm just going to ask you a simple question before I do let you go. You might not have the answer, but you should know this one. You'll disappoint me if you don't. Who won the first ever Māori Cup?
Oh, what a jeepers creepers. You have got me.
I just happened to be an old boy. Peter Snell went there. Arthur Lydiard went there. Sir Brian Williams went there. The famous triangular pyramid base of the Māori Cup was built in the woodwork shop there in 1951. They've won it 8 times, haven't won it since the 1960s. Sir Robert Muldoon was an old boy. I'm giving you some hints here, sort of central Auckland, not Auckland grammar.
You tell me who your grandma
is. Oh, the mighty Mount Albert, Mark Weatherall.
Oh, no, it's exciting. I'm looking forward to the Māori Cup. I mean, not being a rower, I put my hand up and that's why I couldn't answer the question. But, there's something special about rowing and just the Māori regatta itself is just, bringing 2,500 athletes together plus their families. It's the biggest secondary school sport event in Australasia, so to be part of helping deliver that's pretty exciting. And looking forward to Twiles is a beautiful place, as is like Karapiro's mentioned before, so looking forward to getting down there and just seeing these young people come together. There'll be winners for sure, but for me it's about bringing together and being the best they can. If that means making a B final or making the A final, that's actually huge success for people. To make an A final at the Māori Regatta is a massive a massive achievement itself. So if you look at the Māori Cup last year, it came down to 0.06 between the two, and that's a fingertip, so there's going to be some exciting racing. Looking forward to that.
Well, Mark, we might catch up with you later in the week at Mount Whanganui at the Oceans, which is the under 14,
yes,
under 13, under 12, under
you
11
surf
life saving championships. But look, an absolute privilege and pleasure. Thank you for joining us this afternoon, mate. Great insight.
Thanks heaps, Wado. Cheers.